Please turn in your Bibles to the book of James. I'd like for us to read from James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We began last Sunday looking at the subject of being deceived and deceivers. The word deceive or a deceiver is one who makes a person believe as true something that is false. The number one deceiver in this world is Satan. He is a deceiver. He has been a deceiver from the beginning of this world and will be a deceiver until God brings an end to the existence of the devil. The devil is a deceiver. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells us that Satan deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. So in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, we read about him being deceiver. And then if you were to turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, the Word of God says that Satan deceives the whole world. So we can begin with the first woman in the Bible, or we can go to Revelation 12, 9, which says that Satan deceives the whole world. So Satan is a deceiver. He's our enemy. His intent and purpose in deceiving us is to destroy our lives. He's very effective. Peter says that he's as a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And his number one tool in devouring us is first to deceive us. People who are deceived, children of God often, who are deceived, they think they're doing right while they're doing wrong. The Apostle Paul was killing Christians. And the Bible teaches us that he thought that he was doing God's service. He thought he was doing a great work while he was going around killing Christians. And in reality, he was what? He was deceived. He was deceived. Satan deceived him. I believe that Satan has deceived every one of us in this building from time to time. I doubt there's anyone here who has never been deceived by the devil. It's embarrassing, and it often makes us feel foolish that we have been deceived, whether we're deceived by Satan or we're deceived by someone else. It makes a person feel very foolish when they find out the truth. There are many scammers today that are going around deceiving people. There are many people that have been deceived and have lost all of their money because they thought there was some special way they were going to be blessed, and in reality, the person that was seeking to take their money was telling them they were going to be giving their money, and they were deceived. So Satan is a deceiver. The Bible also tells us that people can be deceivers. The Bible talks about preachers being deceivers. The Word of God talks about them and says that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. You know why they put on that fancy, pretty face? Do you know why they look like a sheep? It's because they know that the best way to get lambs to follow them is to put on that sheep's clothing so they look like a Christian, and then they can deceive many. So we need to beware of Satan, and we need to beware of deceivers, people who are deceivers. I want us right now to begin with the third part of this study, and that is that we deceive ourselves. That's amazing that we would deceive ourselves, but that's what the Bible says often happens, is that we deceive ourselves. Quite frankly, I sometimes think I'm real good looking. Do you know what happens when I think that? You know who's deceived? Are you deceived? You're not deceived. But what am I doing? I'm deceiving myself. And though that's one way that we deceive ourselves is the way we think we look, there are many, many other more serious ways that we deceive ourselves. You can deceive yourself in ways that will destroy your life. James 1 will begin now looking at one of the many ways that the Bible says that we deceive ourselves. James 1 verse 22, the Word of God says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You hear the last four words there? He says that people that are hearers of the word and not doers of the word, they are deceiving their own selves. Now, Brother John, and as he was praying earlier, one of the first statements he made in his prayer was that God would help us not to just hear the word of God, but to do the word of God. You understand why he said that? You know why that is so important? It is important because I think most of God's children are hearers of the Word and not doers of the Word. And it makes us feel good to go to the house of God. It appeases our conscience to sit and hear the Word of God. And then we think we can live pretty much like we want to the rest of the week because we are, quote, Christians because we go to church. And we hear the Word of God. The Bible says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So I can deceive myself, not just by thinking I look good, but I can deceive myself into thinking I am an outstanding Christian. I think most church-going people feel that they are very good Christians. But I also would hasten to say, I think most of God's children are deceiving themselves into thinking they are much better, they're much better than they actually are. And they do that by deceiving themselves. Now, I don't doubt that Satan will help you deceive yourself, but ultimately the Word of God doesn't say you can blame the devil. The Bible says it is your fault when you are deceived by the devil, and it is your fault when you're deceived by other people, and it is your fault when you are deceiving yourself. So don't blame the devil. When I was in high school, there was a common saying a lot of people wore t-shirts that said, the devil made me do it. Well, that's a lie from the devil. A person's deceived when they think that the devil can make them do something. I want you to know that the devil is powerful, but Christ Jesus is more powerful. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Jesus is in you, and it's through his strength, his grace, and his power that you can defeat the devil and trample him under your feet. And you do not have to be deceived by the devil. If you're deceived by the devil, it's because you let down your guard. If you're deceived by the devil, it's because you don't know enough about the Word of God, or else you're not thinking about the Word of God. If you're deceived by the devil or by other people, or you deceive yourself, it's because you have not been calling on the name of the Lord. You haven't been walking close enough to Jesus. Because when you walk close to your shepherd will help you not to be devoured by the devil. He will help you not to be deceived by the devil. Stay close to Jesus, because he is the only one who can keep you from being deceived. And if you stay close to him, he will help you. He loves you. It doesn't please the Lord at all when Satan gets hold of one of his people. The Bible describes, even in the Old Testament, that Satan is like a lion. And in one case, it describes how the lion has a lamb half devoured, and just the back half of that lamb was sticking out of the mouth of that lion. And yet the Word of God then speaks about how God came and delivered that lamb out of the mouth of the lion. Christ Jesus has come to me many times in my life when I have been half devoured. I have been completely deceived and half devoured, and Christ has come and delivered me and has delivered you. It's his mercy and his grace that we're still trying to serve the Lord today. It's because of his mercy and his grace. It's because of his strength. It's because of his protection that the ultimate deceiver has not devoured you completely. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I'll give you just a couple of examples of how you can be deceived. How many of you can name some of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit of God? How many of you can name some of those? Now, the fruit of the Spirit is, name some of them, somebody out loud. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, mercy. Parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you understand? Oh, we know them. We can even quote them. We didn't even have to turn and read them. But that's not the point. The point is all that fruit abounding in your life? Or is it just that you have heard it, and you know it, and you can quote it? It's of no value to be a hearer of the Word. It's no value to be able to quote the Word of God. If you're not a doer of the Word, you are deceiving your own selves. Don't you think we think we're better than we are sometimes? And the fact is, we're deceiving ourselves. It's much easier for me to look at you, and I can list things that are wrong in your life, and you can list things that are wrong in my life. And we do that far too often. We're measuring ourselves by ourselves and judging ourselves among ourselves instead of me looking into the, and that's what the next passage in this James 1 talks about, looking into the perfect law of liberty. And when I look into the perfect law of liberty, when I look into the mirror of God's Word, I'm no longer deceived. When I look into a mirror, sometimes I'm amazed. I'm shocked sometimes because I've been deceived. And then I look in the mirror, and it's not the way I thought it was. And we look into the mirror of God's Word, and it is not always pleasant. In fact, I would say that many times that when I read the Word of God and study the Word of God and look into the mirror of God's Word, He, in doing that, He shows me, look at what's wrong in your life. Look at how you've been deceived. Look at how you really are, not how you think you are. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that God blesses us to look into the mirror of His Word. It's a blessing to be able to go and to be a hearer of the Word. Not all people have the ability to hear the Word of God. Unless a person has been born of the Spirit of God, they don't even have ears to hear. Jesus says in John chapter 8, why do you not understand my speech? He says, even because ye cannot hear my word. Now, some people cannot hear the word of God because they have not been born again. But then there are those who have been born again and they have ears to hear. That's the reason Jesus says 27 times in the New Testament, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Because many of those who have an ear, they don't hear. The scripture says in the last chapter of Acts, they stop up their ears. They don't want to hear the word of God. Their minds are already made up. They've already decided what is truth. They're not interested in looking at what truth is because they already think they know the truth. They're deceiving themselves. If you're not willing to sit down and look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God is actually saying, you're deceiving yourself. If you think you know truth, but you're not basing everything you say and everything you believe to be truth, if you're not basing that on a clear, thus saith the Lord, you're deceiving. Are you deceiving God? Are you deceiving other people? You can sometimes, but you're definitely deceiving yourself. Please, don't believe something that is not based on the thus saith the Lord. But then when you do hear, it's important that you don't just glory in the fact that you see some truth or you've heard truth or you understand truth. It doesn't matter if you can understand all the mysteries in God's Word. Doesn't matter if you can understand everything in the Bible. Doesn't matter if you can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you don't have charity, you are what? You're nothing. Doesn't matter. All the knowledge you have, all the understanding you have, all the faith that you have, everything else that you have, it's to no avail if you don't have charity. If you're not showing love, if you're not being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Go to Matthew chapter 7 very quickly. Please turn to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says this about those that hear the Word of God. And again, if you are able to hear and understand the Word of God, let me say this. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born again. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have already been born of the Spirit of God because it takes faith to believe that Jesus is the Christ. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you already have faith, and it's by faith that you believe that He is the Christ. Oh, and by the way, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, all men don't have faith. The only people that have faith are those that have been born of the Spirit of God. And let me say this, you didn't do anything to get born again, just like you didn't get anything to be born the first time. What did you do to be born of your parents? What did you do? Who was working when you were born the first time? Who was doing all of that? How were you conceived in your mother's womb? You had nothing to do with it. You might not like that, but you didn't choose your parents, and your parents didn't choose you unless you were adopted, but you didn't choose them. And the fact is, you were born by the power of God. And the same thing's true of the new birth. You didn't decide to be born again. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You weren't sick. And then Jesus held out his hand and said, if you'll take my hand, you can be alive. You were dead. There's a graveyard right behind the church here. You go out there and you offer them water and see how many of them takes the water. You go out there and tell those dead people, I'll give you water and you can live. I'll tell you, the only people that water is of any value to is those that are alive. And the only people that the Word of God has any importance in their lives are those that God has already quickened them. And they're able to feed on the Word of God, and they're able to drink from the Word of God. They've been born again, not because they did something, not because their parents did something. They've been born again because God came to them and quickened them and made them alive. And you, Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. I'll tell you, one problem people have today is they don't realize total depravity. They don't understand that prior to God coming into my life, I was not sick. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And a dead person cannot make any move. Even when Lazarus was dead in the grave, what did Lazarus do to get out of the grave? He did nothing. What happened? Jesus said. He didn't just say, come forth, because everybody probably would have come forth, but he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came up out of that grave. Lazarus didn't decide to do that. The power of God raised him from that physical dead condition. And it was the power of God that raised me from my spiritually dead condition. And that's true of every one of us all over this world. There are people that are born of the Spirit of God. And brethren, if you think that the preaching of the Word of God is what causes people to be born again, I want you to know that you have just condemned better than 2/3 of the world to hell, because most of the people that have lived in this earth have never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not hearing the Word of God that caused you to be born again. It's the power of the living Word, not the preached Word, that caused you to be born again. Now, after you're born again, then you can what? Then you can hear the Word of God, and that's a great blessing to hear the Word of God. And Luke chapter 8 talks about those four different grounds, and the first ground, you remember how the seed was sown, the parable of the sower, and some seed fell on one side, and you remember all of that, but I'll tell you, every one of those, you know what every one of them did? They all heard, but they were hearers and not what? Not doers. And they deceived themselves. Thank you. That's the two words I was looking for. They deceived themselves. Have you ever deceived yourself? Have you ever been a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word? I'm not going to read that in Matthew 7, but you're familiar with it. He says, in Matthew 7, he says, Matthew 7:26, he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know what will happen when you're a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word? Your house will fall. You personally will fall. Your family will fall. If this church is just a hearer of the Word and not doer of the Word, the church will fall. And a nation where the Word of God is being sent forth and that nation is not doing the Word of God, that nation will fall. And great will be the fall of it. Go back with me now to James chapter 1. Please turn back there very quickly. James chapter 1. I want you to notice that not only does he say that we deceive ourselves in James 1 verse 22. He says there we deceive our own selves when we are hearers only, not doers of the Word. But come down to verse 26, James 1 and verse 26. The Word of God says this. If any man among you, what are the next four words? Seem to be religious. Do I seem to be religious to you? Do I look pretty religious to you? Standing in the pulpit, trying to preach the Word of God. Do I seem to be religious? See, a lot of people seem to be religious. And they look religious to us. But God doesn't just look at what we look at. God looks right down into the heart. And so if any man among you seem to be religious, I want you to remember that, because we're going to write back to that several points. He seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. It's useless. It's of no value. Oh, he's got a religion. He has a form of religion. He has a pretense of religion. He seems to be what? He seems to be religious, but he's deceiving his own heart. Did you know preachers deceive their own heart sometimes? They think about, oh, I'm a great preacher. When God blesses a man to preach, I want you to know the only reason he's ever been blessed to preach is if God blesses him to preach. Now, I can get up here and I can give you a speech, but it is only God that blesses a man to preach. And if I ever take glory in preaching, I am deceiving my own self. Preachers can be deceiving themselves. I'm not talking about deceiving you right now. I'm talking about deceiving myself. Many times while I'm preaching and I'm feeling the power and the presence of the Spirit of God, God lets me know it's because of some dear old sister or old brother. And it may be some of these from the nursing home, that it's their prayers is the only reason God's blessing me to preach. Do you understand the difference? But how do I think when I feel blessed to preach? Oh, God was so pleased with my life this past week. I did such a great job in visiting and in studying and all this. You know what I'm doing when I'm doing that, when I'm saying that, when I'm thinking that? I'm deceiving my own heart. And I'll tell you, the heart's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. This idea that you just feel it in your heart and you know it's right. I'll tell you, the devil will make you feel it's all right in your heart. When it's a lie from the devil, deceiving our own selves. Prayers, I mentioned preachers can be deceivers of their own heart. Prayers can be deceived. Do you hear what I'm saying? Prayers, you know what I mean? A prayer is somebody that's praying. Especially somebody that's praying out loud, okay? There's nothing wrong with praying out loud. Jesus did it. Many others did it. But I'm telling you, you can be a prayer and not be communing with God at all. Back up in your Bibles very quickly to Luke chapter 18. Please look at this in Luke chapter 18. I want to show you a man that was deceiving himself. Didn't deceive anybody else. I doubt that he even deceived that publican that was over there. I doubt that anybody else that might have been in that temple was deceived. If they knew the truth, they knew this man who was a prayer. Now, when you're a prayer, what do you seem to be? Seem to be religious. You seem to be religious. He's a prayer. Luke 18, beginning verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed. Oh, he's a religious man, isn't he? Oh, he can pray out loud. He can even pray a long prayer. Sometimes we think it's how long a prayer is and how much he says that's right. I'm telling you, you can start praying and you can quote the entire Bible and never be communing with God at all. Prayers can seem to be religious. What I'm asking you to do is not stop trusting preachers, but I'm asking you that you take what preachers say and you compare it to what God's Word says. And when you talk about prayers, you need to listen to what they're saying. Because if they're saying words that are vain repetition, let me tell you something. Those of you that say a blessing at every meal, don't raise your hand, just think. How many of you just think? Don't raise your hand, please. How many of you say a blessing at every meal? Probably most everybody here says a blessing at every meal. I want you to know you can be saying a blessing. You can be saying a blessing every day, three times a day, and you can say a prayer before you go to bed, say a prayer before you get up, when you get up in the morning. You can be praying morning, noon, and nighttime and never be doing anything but seeming to be religious. If when you pray, if you're not communing with God, if your heart is not thinking about God, if you're not communing with God, you seem to be religious, but you're not. You know who you're deceiving? Your own self. Can you even deceive others by being a great orator in preaching or in praying? You can deceive others. The main problem we're looking at right now is us deceiving ourselves. And this Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You notice it doesn't say he prayed with God. He didn't commune with God. Who did he pray with? He prayed with himself. God, have you heard some people? God, oh Lord. Beautiful word. Important word. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Now, if you're there, you need to switch it off right then while he's praying. That man's deceiving his own heart. And if he deceives you by you thinking he's not as other men are, you don't know the word of God. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. What'd he do right at the close, right there? He looked around. Oh, there's a sinner over there. I know he's a sinner. You ever been in the house of God and thought about a sinner that was there? You ever been in the house of God and looked down on anybody in the congregation? Well, you seem to be religious, don't you? You came to church, so you must be religious. And you're hearing the Word of God, so you must be religious. And you seem to be religious. But if you're looking down on other people in the congregation, let me tell you, you're just like this man who's praying out loud. You might say, oh, well, I wouldn't pray that out loud. No, but you pray it and you think it in your heart and in your mind sometimes. And you seem to be religious, but what are you? Who are you deceiving? You're deceiving yourself. This man said, I thank you, I'm not as other men, not even as this publican. I fast. What's he doing in this prayer now? He's going to begin to talk about how great he is. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What's he doing? He's giving glory to whom? He's giving glory to himself. Who is he thinking is so wonderful? Who is his God? Who is his God? He is his God. It's himself that he is worshiping, and he is deceiving himself. The publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. One seemed to be religious. One seemed to be a wretched sinner. But the wretched sinner who knew he was a sinner and confessed he was a sinner and asked God to forgive him, God was pleased with that man. Let me mention one other thing. Please listen carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Preachers can deceive themselves, right? Prayers, P-R-A-Y, prayers can deceive themselves. Churchgoers can deceive themselves. Singers, S-I-N-G-E-R-S, singers can deceive themselves. You listen very carefully. I've been to, the first year I was here, they were having all-night sings at the stadium. Any of you remember when they used to have all-night sings? And I had several people say, oh, you've got to go to this all-night thing. It's just going to be wonderful. You'll feel the presence of God. The Spirit of the Lord is just manifest. You'll just have, and you stay up all night sitting at the stadium. Let me tell you something. I wasn't there 15 minutes because when I heard the people singing, they were singing things that were contrary to the Word of God. And when people sing things that are contrary to the Word of God, it is not pleasing to God. I've been to all-night sings. I've been to all-day sings. And did you know that most of those people that will go to an all-night sing and an all-day sing, they're not interested in a preacher preaching all night or all day. And they're not interested in the truth of God's Word. And they'll sing whatever is called out. And they'll sing anything and everything. And they sing and they sing. And they marvel in the harmony. And they marvel in the beauty. There is natural harmony that appeals to the flesh, and the flesh will suck you up an alley of wretchedness. I'd rather hear somebody sing a song that's off key, a solo by himself, that he can't carry a tune in a bucket, but him singing in the Spirit and singing with understanding. That pleases the Lord. Don't tell me that all this singing that goes on is of the Lord. It is not. And it is an abomination in the sight of God for you to go and participate in singing if truth is not being stated in that singing. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you're not worshiping Him in truth, you're not worshiping Him. Do you know who the God is to some people? Singing is their God. Did you know that? There are people that singing is their God. You look at how their children turn out. You look at their families. You look at the chaos and confusion. Look at the adultery. Look at the ignorance of God's Word. Don't know truth from error. Have no idea what truth is, what is truth and what is error. Can't even see in a song this thing is not expressing truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't you participate in that. When people don't know the truth and are not singing the truth, and you go and you participate in that worship of singing. That's what it is. Worship of singing. Singing can become your God. Singing can become your God. And you worship that singing, and God is not pleased. And you know who you're deceiving by all that pretty singing? Who are you deceiving? Just deceiving your own selves. And what's the end of that? The end of that is destruction. May God help us to understand that we need to pray, God, help me to stop being deceived by Satan. God, help me to not be deceived by others. And God, help me to stop deceiving myself. May the Lord help us to do that. And we've just begun on deceiving ourselves. So pray that God will help us as we continue studying different ways that we deceive ourselves. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.